that game.
Prescott in the gun, runs up the middle.
That call.
It's the right decision.
That moment.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Did he spike it in time?
That's the end of the game.
What normally takes down the Cowboys and what they have to battle and what they might have to fight through and maybe not. The head coaching, decision making.
The Rich Eisen Show.
About them Cowboys.
Today's guests, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, two-time Emmy Award-winning actor Eric Stonestreet, plus Fox Sports rules analyst Mike Pereira. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We already chatted with Mike Pereira, the Fox rules analyst, former head of NFL refs, said that the way that the Cowboys game ended yesterday, he did not have a problem with the mechanics of it. When you hear an official say that, he means does not have a problem with the way that the refs were physically in position to officiate and then make a proper decision on whether there was a ball properly spotted and enough time left. The only issue he had in the whole process is that he wanted the umpire who spotted the football. Because, you know, you can't spot your own football in the NFL. You can't just say, all right, this is exactly where I got to snap it and I got to spike it. So we'll go right around here. I'll just decide to put it right here because I'm the center of the team and I got to spot it. The official has to touch it. He just wanted the official to touch it, not actually maneuver the football inches to be in a proper position. So other than that, he had no problem with it. For the rest of the conversation, go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. The phone lines are lit. We're going to take your calls. We've got Overreaction Monday still to come on this program. Also, Eric Stonestreet, diehard Chiefs fan, watching the Chiefs beat the Steelers last night. He wanted to have a fair and balanced conversation because Joe Manganiello, the actor who's a diehard Steelers fan, came on the show last week, and he said that the Chiefs fans were nouveau riche. What was it? What was the watch analogy that he was saying last week? Brockman,
Richard.
Oh, Richie. Yeah, it's like a really old, you know, like heirloom Rolex, as opposed to like one of the new types of like fancy watches, like a Richard Mille or
right. Yeah, that's what he was saying.
Philippe, one of those.
Different. Right, and so he's the old school Rolex being a Steeler.
Yes,
well, they need to go back to the jewelry shop. You know. After last night's unfortunate for the Steelers loss. So that's coming up later on. Also, a Cowboys 49ers game, an entire Overreaction Monday segment on that, a bonus Overreaction.
Just about Monday the Cowboys. Segment. Okay. Just about the Cowboys.
Rent free, folks, rent free.
We are here in Los Angeles, California, up the 405 from us. 4 weeks from yesterday is going to be the Super Bowl in SoFi Stadium. Tonight is the finale, the Monday Night Football finale. You can watch the game on ESPN. You can listen to any ABC. You can listen to it on Westwood One. I'll be at the game doing the pregame and halftime of it. You can also watch the Manningcast version of it tonight. I guess The Rock is on that this evening.
Yeah, The Rock, Russell Wilson.
Oh, Russell Wilson returns.
Yeah,
good. Russell he Wilson was terrific returns. On the first ever version of the Manningcast. And then on ESPN Plus, the NFL Live crew will be having their own megacast, and that includes our friend Dan Orlovsky, who's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Dan?
I'm fantastic, bud. Good to link up with you and as these playoffs start and talk a little football.
Yes, absolutely. There is so much to discuss. The most impressive performance of the weekend to date is? Fill in that blank, sir.
Oh, yeah, Josh Allen. And his performance, you know, against New England Patriot defense that was, you know, one of the top two in all of football this season. You know, when Josh is used that way, Rich, when I say used that way, the way – you know, Brian Daboll has really started to deploy him this last five-week stretch, you know, where when he's used that way, he's almost indefensible. And I said this, he's like Shohei Ohtani, you know, the basically do-it-all player for the Angels. Because, you know, if you want Josh to play against zone defense where they're going to give you completions, he'll take them. And then you need a quarterback with a big, powerful arm to drive the football downfield and take shots. He can do it. You need a quarterback that has got strong enough arm and good enough velocity to throw these 18 to 25-yard deep crossing routes versus man coverage. He can do it. You want a quarterback that, you know, you want to utilize in your designed run game. you know, to be effective. He can do it. You want a quarterback to get himself out of trouble when the protection's not great. He can do that. You know, he's a three-tool quarterback. He can beat you with his arm, beat you with his legs, and beat you with his mind. And when they use him like that and he's rolling like that, man, he's just an indefensible player.
Well, I mean, and the fact that you didn't stutter when you said Josh Allen as the most impressive performance, and it just shows you just how impressive it was when Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns in 10.5 minutes against the Steelers defense, you know, on Sunday night.
Not too shabby. We don't even talk about it anymore when Patrick does that. I think the quality of defense is probably the big difference for me. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh's defense is falling off so much. Patrick was really good. Patrick's been really good for about the last 6 weeks. It's so nice to see him clean up some of the stuff that was hampering him really at the start of the season. But the way Josh just absolutely dominated that game was so eye-opening.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Cowboys loss, you lay that at whose feet, if there's a foot to lay it on?
Yeah. I think it's 100% on Mike McCarthy and 100% on Dak Prescott. No, honestly, right? I think it's like a marriage. We ain't giving 50-50. It's 100-100. All right, so listen, my truthful answer, like my not kind of joking answer, this falls on $400 million of offense. You're a $140 million quarterback. Rich, there's three guys at that position in the NFL that make $40 million a year. We just talked about two of them. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott. Josh Allen and Patrick went for over 400 yards. Dak didn't play good. He didn't play well enough. And in those moments, that's what you're paid for, is to outperform when no one else on your offense shows up. Your $90 million back didn't show up. Again, your $100 million receiver and Amari Cooper didn't show up again. You know, candidly, Tyron Smith got beat up yesterday. He got handled by the 49ers defensive front. They just you don't get into the end game situation and how that game ended by playing well on offense. No one played good offensively. But the way the game went, Rich, and the fake punt and the lack of communication and the confusion after the fake punt, that delay a game, they don't get a first down after that because of that 5-yard penalty.
Right.
And obviously the way the end of the game is handled and the lack of preparation and the lack of a plan, that's got to fall at the feet of Mike McCarthy. And the truth of Mike McCarthy is this. In 2 years as the Dallas Cowboys head coach, he's 18-15. With Dak Prescott as his starting quarterback, outside of the NFC East, they're 6-9 together. Outside of the worst division in football, they're 6-9 together. And that's not – that. For an owner who came out last week and said Super Bowl or bust, man, I just don't see how that's good enough.
Well, and then in terms of the last play, Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show, the conversation from both McCarthy and Dak is that we drilled it, we've practiced it, we've done this, we've done that. In practicing this, does somebody play the role of the official, the umpire? Because, you know, so much is made of the umpire bumped Dak, and we had Mike Pereira on in hour number one of this show, Dan, and he said that the umpire should not have re-spotted the football. Just touch the ball and get the hell out of the way. But put it all together, though, if you find the official, like Larry Fitzgerald, for instance, always did, and Chase Claypool famously did not earlier this year, then maybe that doesn't happen. Is there a role of an official in drilling this to make sure that the quarterback doesn't hand the ball to the center to self-spot, you know?
Oh, okay, so, yeah, this is a great question. There's a lot to it. So, first of all, everyone plays their part in the end game of situation, 100%. The official's got to be, you know, in the right place, knowing where the football is, knowing what his role is. But I'm going to just walk you through, Rich, kind of how this gets taught in the locker room.
Please.
So you referenced Larry Fitzgerald. If you go back and watch some of the moments with Larry, Larry takes the ball from the edge of the field, right, outside the numbers, receiver-wise, sprints in, and multiple times actually hands the ball to the center. The center then turns and hands it to the official. That tells me everybody on the offense is aware, certainly the person snapping the football, that the official has to touch the ball. All right, so in that situation, 14 seconds is what's on the clock. I've always learned that 16 seconds was like, okay, that's our cutoff. 14 seconds is the near-death experience. That's the max that we can go, okay?
Right.
So once you make that decision, number one, ball carrier, whoever you are, receiver, tight end, tailback, quarterback, we're just trying to get some yards, not all the yards. You got to do a good job of declaring yourself down, because you trying to get two or three extra yards is worth an extra second or two. So, number one, Dak Prescott went too far. Number two, your job is to get up and hand the ball to the official. Don't toss it to him. These guys are 60 years old. I'm not knocking someone who's 60. But in the heat of the moment, everyone's moving around. You don't want to trust the guy to catch the ball from you. You hand the football to him, okay? Number three, everyone then needs to be with urgency to get into a legal formation. If you go watch like Noah Brown or Dalton Schultz, they're like confused in that moment. 5 seconds on the clock. Hey, what are we doing? So it looks lack of preparation. And then the last point, and this is one of the most crucial for me, Rich. So again, when you're taught this situation, that's if things go ideally, right? Hey, if everything goes perfectly, you're always taught as a quarterback, what happens if it doesn't go the way we hope? Let's say there's a stumble or the referee does hold the football. 3 seconds is the cutoff, where if you realize the clock is on 3 seconds, you are now in 911 mode. You are screaming down the field or at the line of scrimmage, 911, 911. That is declaring to everybody, we are not spiking the football. We are in a Hail Mary situation. We're running down to the end zone. That was never part of what it looked to be the Cowboys' preparation. And so there's so many layers. When you would do this in practice, there should always be an official. We've always had officials to be a part of that. It's never been, you know, a player. It's always been the officials. And it just looked like the Cowboys were unprepared and not able to execute what was necessary.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. So then last one for you on this subject matter. And you've heard all the conversations since, by the way, I have been on the bystander status when Michael Irvin gets at it with somebody on the set, as happened to you today on First Take with Stephen A's return. Perfect timing, by the way, too. What do you do if you're Jerry Jones? What do you do?
Yeah, I think it's hard to bring back Mike McCarthy. I really do. I thought Ed Werder made a great point on Get Up this morning when he was asked that question, and he said, I don't want to get into hypotheticals or whatnot. And then, you know, Greeny pushed back on, well, Kellen Moore, and he said, well, I actually think Dan Quinn's probably the part of this conversation that is more likely, because he thinks it's more likely Dan Quinn is going to be a head coach again before Kellen Moore is for the first time. And are you willing to lose potentially Dan Quinn if you're Jerry Jones? I laid out, like, if we go back, think about this, Rich. Like, we can go back week two against the Chargers when the clock runs out. Mike McCarthy said, well, we couldn't see the clock. Week three against the Eagles before halftime, the clock runs all the way out with like a minute 50 and a half. They never call timeouts. Week six against the Patriots, they called timeout and kick a field goal with 24 seconds left rather than letting the clock run all the way down. Week 15, he throws the ball to Dalton Schultz, and they don't take a shot at the end zone because he says that they're in the O zone. Week 17, last week against the, or 2 weeks ago against the Cardinals, he calls timeout and can't challenge the fumble. I think it's hard given what the record is, given what the performance is, given what the reality of this poor game and clock management, I think it's hard to bring back Mike McCarthy to this football team.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. You're concerned about which quarterback moving forward more, Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts. What do you got for me on that one?
Probably Jalen Hurts. I think that Jalen Hurts did so much good this year. I've been outspoken. I think Jalen Hurts has done enough to be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles next year. I still say two things for Jalen, and he's still such a very young player, but guys in the NFL, you can't wait till they're open. You've got to see them open before they are, and he's not there yet. And the second thing is his arm strength is a thing. His arm's just not that powerful. And, you know, you've got to figure out as an organization how comfortable you are with that reality. I think Mac did so many good things. Now, you could say the same thing with Mac. Average arm strength, but Mac has such other things in his game, how fast he plays, how quickly he gets the ball out, how much of an anticipation thrower he is, that kind of elite trait, or those elite traits will mask the average arm strength for him. So I'd say Jalen Hurts.
And then just again, because of what happened with the Cowboys, and then obviously Burrow's first performance, and how the Raiders still almost won that game, and Mahomes, and Big Ben's farewell, and and so on and so forth. You know, I can you overlook Tom Brady? I mean, because I mean, even with no Fournette and no Ronald Jones and no Godwin and no Antonio Brown, he still put up 30 on the Eagles yesterday. He's incredible. It's unbelievable. Damn.
Yeah, he's really? Mind. It boggles my mind. Not only the performance, Rich, and I've always felt this way about him, how much every single play matters to him. I can't even conceptualize the level of expectation for excellence he has every single play. Every single play. You see him miss a throw, he gets frustrated with himself. You see a guy not do what he's expecting, he gets visibly upset. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating to me. I'm so intrigued by the Bucs right now because of the injuries. But at the same time, that offensive line, if Tristan Wirfs is healthy, and those, he's got two gold jackets thrown to still. And he still has Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski. I think Mike Evans is going to be a Hall of Famer. So I can't sit here and say I'm discounting Tampa Bay getting back strictly because of who the quarterback is and strictly because I think they're good enough on offense.
Well, I mean, look, we might find out, as I said at the top of the show, that the team that many in the NFC would be upset with the most are the Rams, because they had the Niners dead to rights and let them off the hook. And now the Cowboys are out, and we might find out that the Packers will feel the same way at this very point next weekend. Yes. You never know. Yes. And the Bucs are sitting there at home. They're going to get the winner of Monday Night Football, a West Coast team on a short week coming all the way across the country, and they're the two seed sitting back. They might not have to move all the way up to the Super Bowl. It's entirely possible that that's the case for Tampa right now. Dan.
100%. 100%. The way, you know, if you're Green Bay, you're sitting there going, seriously? Like, this was the – if I had to sit down and script out how to beat the Green Bay Packers or how to attack and beat or what's the weakness of Green Bay, I would just copy and paste the San Francisco 49ers. And that's why Green Bay's got to be sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. You know, we had this season, though, Rich, right? This is why we had this season where, you know, we live in the world where every week you get asked the question, well, who do you think is the best team in the NFC? Or, you know, who's the biggest threat to the Chiefs? And you know, I think many of us try to be confident and right in our answer and get to the point where it's like, I don't know. I feel like all the teams are, you know? And I think that's what the beauty is where we sit with this final eight right now is I don't know if anybody would be surprised if any of the eight were in the Super Bowl.
Last one for you then. What happens tonight? What's your best guess as to what happens this evening in Los Angeles?
I think the Rams win. Because they're the better football team. I think that I have said this. This is the biggest game in the history of Matthew Stafford's career. And if he wins it next week, is the biggest game in the history of Matthew Stafford's career. This is a legacy-changing three-week stretch for him. And if he plays three clean football games, he'll be a Hall of Famer. And if he doesn't, the noise is going to be very loud on the outside. I think tonight, number one, I would put two tight ends on the field, and I would run the football in my outside zone game against Arizona. They've proven it all year that they cannot stop it. I would force the corner up to the boundary so that he can cover Odell Beckham one-on-one. I know Cooper Kupp's going to get his. And I think if you can protect the safeties, if you're the Rams, if you can protect your safeties that are unproven and kind of your backups, you should win this football game because you're the better team.
Dan, enjoy tonight, man. In the 7 years that I was at ESPN, if you had told any single human being walking around there that you would be, or ESPN would have, a Monday Night Football playoff game and then have the Mannings part of it and then have the country watch it on a whole bunch of networks, including what you've got streaming on ESPN Plus tonight, nobody would have believed it, man. Nobody. So it's the truth.
Cool.
What a big night. What a big night for the worldwide leader. Big night. So enjoy it. Enjoy it.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for that, man.
No, it's the truth. Soak it in. And, you know, you've got a great crew and have fun. Just have a blast. It's going to be great.
Thanks, bud. You're the best, man. Thanks, Rick.
Right back at you. At Dan Orlovsky 7 on Twitter. I follow him. You should as well, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. And during that conversation, news broke as to who is going to be playing in this game tonight. So when we come back, there's lots to go. Lots going on. First things first. That news. Secondly, overreaction Monday, writ large, not the Cowboys one. There's going to be a Cowboys 49ers overreaction Monday segment on its own. That'll be hour three.
Oh yeah.
But when we come back, we hear from the Dallas Cowboy fan here. I have not asked you, TJ, what you want the Cowboys to do moving forward yes. based on the way it ended
Come
yesterday.
On. It's too soon, baby. It's Come too on. Soon.
It's not too soon.
It's too soon.
Let's just put it this way. Whatever you think might happen, it's not nearly remotely as close to the dirtiness that Stephen A. Smith perpetrated
well,
on
look,
Michael
man,
Irvin
he's
today
doing
on live
it for
television.
Clicks and okay. views and likes. Okay. Man, I'm real
be
with
careful.
This.
Be careful. Stephen A. might be appearing on this show
That's
later on.
That's fine.
This week.
You know how I feel.
So TJ has his say. When we come back on the Rich Eisen Show, but before we go, want to let you know about Navy Federal Credit Union. We all wanted this year's celebrations for the holidays to be perfect, and I'm sure you did too. The perfect gifts for your whole family, perfect meal for everyone gathered around the table. Holidays can be so expensive. Navy Federal Credit Union helps you take control of your finances after these holidays. You can get a low intro APR on their Platinum credit card. It's their lowest rate card. Great tool also to pay down debt. And beyond the holidays, Navy Federal even has multiple savings and investing options to help you get closer to your financial goals. They offer digital tools and educational resources to help guide your decisions. With Navy Federal, you can automate your saving and investing to put your money to work for you even as you sleep. Plus, you can buy fractional shares. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Message and data rates may apply. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment options are available through Navy Federal Investment Services and are not insured by NCUA. Back with you and more on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We love giving you insight. We love also predicting things that will happen. And then, of course, the best thing about it is that you see something that the rest of the country sees and you say, you know what? I knew that was coming because I watched the Rich Eisen Show. Those are the best. Ian Eagle came on this show last week, and he came on this show in advance of calling Patriots Bills 3 days in advance. And we knew how cold it was going to be. We have weather forecasting. And we said, why don't you wear the jacket that Kurt Warner wore, the famed silver puffy jacket? And he said, you know, he'd be into the idea. I called up Kurt. I said, Kurt, you should send him the jacket. Guess what he did? He sent him the jacket. Guess what happened on Saturday night?
He wore it.
He wore the jacket.
High and Eagle, Charles Davis, Evan Washburn down on the sidelines. We're getting ready for the second half.
Where'd you get the jacket?
What jacket? Oh, this.
But that.
Yes. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, you might have noticed, wore this a few weeks ago, and it hit the internet by storm. Kurt saw that we had this assignment, and Kurt now runs a program, Warner's Warmers. He just sends the jacket out to whoever needs it. I feel like I want Jiffy Pop popcorn. I don't know about you, if you're in the mood for that. This thing is very warm. Kurt Warner, that was Raiders at Browns. This is the same jacket. Kurt sent this to me. And let me tell you, not all heroes wear capes.
They wear these jackets.
They wear silver bullet puffers. Returned by Olszewski is spun down at the 24. Thanks to Rich Eisen for coordinating the whole jacket thing. And we go down to Evan Washburn. I'm going to give this jacket to him.
I mean, just... God, Ian is the GOAT.
Virtuoso. You know, I got to be honest with you. There was about a 15, 20-second part where I went from my TV room to the kitchen thinking that he wasn't going to give the proper shout-out. Because I did text him earlier in the week. It's called and pronounced The Rich Eisen Show. That's all I texted him. but he did come in late with a thanks to Rich Eisen, which I greatly appreciate that. Because we were the ones who noticed that he was going to be cold, not Kurt. But we hook him all up. We just make sure he's... And now, you know, God bless Ian. I said to him, the idea is now to get others to wear it, yeah. Sort of like the traveling pants. He then sent me a GIF of Amber Tamblyn from the film. He texted that to me. That's why Ian is next level.
Next level, man.
He is next level. He handled it with aplomb. I love the idea. He just had Charles say, where'd you get that jacket? What jacket? Oh, this one?
Oh, hi.
Well done, Ian. Well done. You wear it much better than Kurt Warner. We already knew that. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. TJ Jefferson.
Holler.
You've been holding up that grease board every single week. How about them Cowboys?
Yes. How it felt.
And you got it up there. You still have it. You're wearing your Cowboys. What would you call that? A winter cap with the
it's a Scully. It's a
ski, you know, cap.
Toque,
ski
toboggan, cap. Whatever like you want to call it.
Okay, very good. Because the forecast calls for a blizzard of criticism. And nice.
Hold on.
Okay, you've got the floor. What do you want the Dallas Cowboys to do with yesterday's loss, TJ Jefferson?
What I want them to do with it?
Yes.
I mean, you know, you sit there, you look at some tape, you review what you did wrong, and then, you know, you got to move on.
Yeah, this isn't a week 8 loss, DJ. This is not like your loss against the Denver Broncos.
What do you
Broncos.
Think they're going to do, though, Rich? They're grown men. They're what? Multimillionaires. They're going to sit there. They're going to think about it maybe today, and they're going to move on with their lives. They're going to start training in about another week.
I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about Jerry Jones, who you know is not just going to rest.
Get your damn act together.
What do you want the Cowboys to do with this loss? TJ Jefferson, do you want a new coach?
What I've said all year, and you brought up part of what I've been saying about the kicking aspect of the team. You thought that was going to cost us.
He actually made a big kick yesterday.
I said Zerline,
even though he was sent out there down 16 to kick 3.
Yeah, I said Zerline, as long as you get him out of the first quarter, he's money. So we got him through the first quarter without him missing anything.
Do you want another coach to coach this team?
I mean, you're asking me, now you're pushing me. I was going to get there.
Okay.
All year I was saying that poor clock management was going to hurt this team. And it's happened, like Dan Orlovsky said, time and time again. At some point, what are you going to do? Like, I don't know dollars and cents-wise. I don't know what they're going to do. But if you're asking as a fan what I want to do,
yes.
I honestly don't know yet. I mean, it would be easy to sit here and go, you got to fire McCarthy. You got to get rid of him. I think that would just be overreacting to something that just happened. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know. I don't know the problem. The team, you know, 14 penalties, you know, our once powerful offensive line, once the greatest line in football, did not look that great yesterday.
Well, and that was Irv. As you know, he came on the show. He reiterated on NFL Game Day morning. He had hoped that the young Cowboys offensive line would be the one to get out there, you know, as opposed to the older, potentially more banged up,
offensive line, and we saw they rushed four and got home even with Nick Bosa out of the game. Yeah. So, you know, again, the issue is if you're Jerry Jones and you're seeing your defensive coordinator who just lit it up this year, right? To the point where he's now a hot coaching candidate everywhere.
Do you let him leave?
That's- Do you let him leave and say, I believe in McCarthy and we're going to get another defensive coordinator in here from Micah Parsons and the rest of this team that is young enough to keep moving forward with Trayvon Diggs, that they're younger on that side of the ball than they are on the offensive side of the ball. Do you keep your defensive coordinator in-house as your HC to make sure that he doesn't go anywhere else? This is against type. I know everybody thinks that Jerry Jones is impetuous and he's also rash. He's this or that. But he held on to Jason Garrett forever, as we know. He stuck with Campo. He stuck with a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And so he stuck with Wade longer than a lot of people wanted him to stick with. So this would be against type for him to tell McCarthy, you're two and out.
But the defense, Rich, as you said, that Cowboys defense looked better this year than it has in, my Lord, how many years?
The crown jewel is Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons and Diggs, who both absolutely love Dan Quinn. So you would hate to see this guy who helped mold and build this defense with these two young stars, all pros, possibly legends in the making.
So you're going to let – this is the decision Jerry Jones has to make. And by the way, in the next 24 to 48 hours, by the way.
I think it would all depend on the amount of offers that Quinn's getting.
He's
going
to get – the Denver Broncos is absolutely going to offer him one. And I think I think he's going to get two or three other ones too.
I think we always know that Dallas has offensive talent, right? Talent on that side of the ball. But the way this defense played, the way these guys respond to Dan Quinn, I don't know that you can let this man leave the building. And if that comes at the expense of Mike McCarthy, then I don't want to ever go back to the defense, man, the way it was the last few years. It was abysmal. It was abominable. It was every bad word that starts with an A that you can think of. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't want to ever go back to that. And if that means making Dan Quinn the head coach, then do what we got to do. But this defense has to keep churning.
Well, there are some fans who want to talk to you today, TJ.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
And so I just want to set the ground rules here because, as you know, there were no ground rules between Stephen A. and Michael Irvin today. It was very difficult. Irv had a difficult run of it on First Take today. We have ground rules here set by T.J. Jefferson himself.
Oh, yeah.
So for those who are calling in and want to talk to T.J. today or tweet at T.J., there are ground rules.
Tiers.
Let's remind everybody what the tiers are.
Yep. Tier one.
This tier one, if you have three or more Super Bowl wins, you can talk to him today.
You can talk trash. I'll let you
You're in the VIP is what you're saying.
Hey, okay. we're sipping on.
If you have one or two wins, then you're a tier two individual. So you're in the club. They can talk to you, right? If you have one or two wins, because that includes the Jets, you know, and Mark Sanchez, as you know, had more playoff wins than the Cowboys have had since 1995.
I get that, and we still have more Super Bowl wins. But yeah, you're right. They're in the club.
I'm allowed to talk.
You're allowed to roam around the club.
You're free to roam. I'm
still
in VIP, but I could probably hear you if we make eye contact and I'm looking at you and you're yelling something. I'm like, okay, cool.
All right, tier three, if you have never won a Super Bowl, right? You have to wait in line.
You got to wait for the doorman, maybe Brockman or Feller.
So
whoever.
That means others who are in tier one and tier two that call the program at 844-204-RICH, you have to stay on hold till they're off the phone line, and then they can talk to you or what?
Essentially, but tier four, those are the ones who like to talk the most.
Have never made it.
Don't even get in the shower.
All right, Kate.
Just that outfit that you picked out for Friday night, return it, get your money back.
Okay.
Because you ain't getting in the club.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So these are the ground rules to call 844-204-RICH today.
I got my man Tadao at the door,
TJ,
and he's
real stingy. It's still a little raw, a little soon. Dusty in Pennsylvania, you're first up. What tier are you? Can you talk to TJ? Are you allowed to talk to TJ today, Dusty in Pennsylvania?
I am, Rich.
Okay. What is your credentials?
Who's your team, Dusty?
I'm a huge Niners fan.
Okay. Hey, sit next to me in the VIP. We're going to open up that rope for you, Dusty. Okay. You come right in.
Bottle service.
For you, being a Dallas fan, but go Niners. You know, I'm actually born and raised in Wyoming, so I'm a huge Josh Allen fan too. So
oh my gosh,
I am too.
Football's looking awesome this week.
Okay, so you what do you have to what else you got? You got anything for?
What I wanted to really get into is that Mr. TJ and your signs and your clothing and your
I'm a fan, baby.
Overall, Dallas hubris.
Yes,
it's over. It's over, man. Over. It's Niners got you.
It's never over, Daddy. It's never over.
We're running with this thing too.
I'm gonna. You know what?
What?
I might hold this up every week, every Monday, just because it's never over.
What, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Like, stop rooting for them? I'm already
saying your season is over.
I know, I'm saying I'm already so far deep in, right? It's like a marriage. I sometimes understand why people stay married for years after the love is gone, because what are you going to do? You're not going to get divorced. You've already built a life together. I can't leave them no matter what. Jerry Jones shook my hand.
You're doing it for the kids named Micah and Trayvon?
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Jones shook my hand in his suite. He told me, I want to thank you for being a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. That's just like I'm in it for life, like Mac 10 for life. Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not going to come out here and go, I hate the Cowboys now. It's
Dusty,
you know,
thank you for the time, Justy. Thank you for the time. Congrats again on Josh Allen. Thanks, brother.
Good luck to you, Dusty,
right,
though.
Pete in Richmond, Virginia. Which tier are you? Are you allowed to talk to TJ Jefferson today, Pete?
So saith the sooth, so saith the sayer. I told y'all last week,
yes.
And the only reason I didn't talk about the Bucks, TJ, is because I don't need to worry about the Bucks, TJ. Just like I pray to God the Rams win so they can come to Tampa and get a taste. But TJ, seriously, yeah, you just, y'all, I don't know what y'all need to do, but y'all need to do something.
But what is
it,
though?
My goodness. Blow up the stadium because y'all can't win there when it needs to be won there. I mean, my man, you spent $1 billion on a stadium you can't play in.
Well, I mean, technically, Uncle Jerry did because my money stayed in my pocket.
No, he's talking about your man. Your man.
I'm talking about your man. Yeah, your man, Mr. Yeah. Handshake. Just ask you, man, were you praying and hoping that y'all were going to see Philadelphia in the playoffs,
of course,
so you'd have a shot at winning something?
You, anybody but the Niners.
Yeah,
anybody,
I didn't want the Niners. The Niners.
I mean, we're taking Arizona back.
I didn't want to have to chase Kyler Murray around.
I don't know. I would have taken Arizona back over the Niners, bro.
I think Jerry needs to hire a motivator of men and keep those two coordinators. Then I worry about the Cowboys.
All right.
They need a motivator of men.
Pete in Richmond.
But Pete is a Buccaneers fan, right?
He is. He's allowed. Okay. Yeah. He's in the VIP. He's in the VIP.
Well, I mean, his team has won two Super Bowls.
So he doesn't get the bottle service.
You know, he doesn't get the bottle service.
You know who gets the bottle service? The refs coming off the field get the bottle service.
So Pete's in the club.
That's what gets
you know,
the
he's just
service.
Not in the VIP.
Would Jerry hire Jim Harbaugh?
I don't think so.
No. Leader of men, I mean.
No, but Jim, Quinn isn't sticking around to be the DC for somebody else after doing all that. He's got the HC all lined up. Why wouldn't he go to Denver? The only reason why you wouldn't go to Denver right now is you're concerned about who's going to own the team. So I'm going to sign on a dotted line, and all of a sudden I don't know who's paying my checks. Right. I don't know who's going to be committed. Like, their ownership's up in the air. That's going to be dicey. Except you can't imagine a new owner is going to come in and blow out John Elway. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think
so. You know what I mean? So, is kind of be like, I got the flow chart. Don't you worry about it. Do you want this job or not? You
well,
want
to come here to Denver? Well, in a group to buy the team, too, right?
Well, Peyton Manning is, apparently.
Yeah, they're in two separate groups, but yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, competing. But did Dan Quinn go to Jerry today and say, look, McCarthy or me, you got to pick?
No. I think he's just, like, going to take his job interviews where he's taking them. And then Jerry's is going to have to sit there and think. I don't think he's giving an ultimatum to Jerry Jones. I think he's just going about his business. Jerry Jones doesn't need to. Jerry Jones knows exactly what time it is. And the time is that his defensive coordinator, who just turned the light on Micah Parsons and Diggs and everyone else in a way that Mike Nolan sure didn't, you know, is going to leave unless you do something rash, which is rash for him. Let's take a break. Overreaction Monday. When we come back, more of your calls. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here on the show. And again, just understand what tier you are in before you address TJ Jefferson.
Don't come
today
at me with no BS. Use caution.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about
how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Right on cue, Ian Rappaport tweeting out, big week for Cowboys DC Dan Quinn, one of the most popular HC candidates. He interviews with the Broncos Tuesday, right away.
The air is too thin. He don't want to go there.
And has three more later in the week.
Three more.
He doesn't have to do a thing with Jerry Jones.
Miami's too humid.
He doesn't have to do a thing with Jerry Jones except interview, as he is allowed, as he has been granted. Just go about your business. And then his agent calls up. Guess who we got a call from today?
Who?
Jerry Jones. You know?
Life's a lot tougher as a head coach, too. You got to take his health might not. Maybe he doesn't want that responsibility of a head coach. Maybe he enjoys the defensive side and he's happy where he's at. And you know he lives in a fat crib in Dallas because Texas, the way the house market is, you know, you could get a nice house for a little bit cheaper than you could in, say, like Miami or, you know, somewhere else. So I'm just saying.
You know who should send Mike McCarthy and all the Cowboys an edible arrangement today? Kyle Shanahan. Because, boy, some of those play calls down the stretch, he's getting let off the hook that Dallas kind of blew.
Well, it was almost another monster lead blown, and that's, as you know, the lead. That was the playoff game off of which he got the job and left Dan Quinn's Falcons.
Like, thank God that pass to Kittle hit the turf first.
I know. It was so close.
By the way, that was me on our account who said that was the catch on one side, and then the catch and not a catch.
Oh, I wasn't on Twitter at all yesterday, so I didn't.
Smart move. I saw it. Yeah. Well done, Rich.
I mean, you got Dallas.
So you were trolling?
Dallas. No,
so
it's you not were trolling. It's not trolling.
Okay, I'm just saying, because you're against trolling, right?
At that time, had that been the finale, had that, let's just say, the Niners run the ball out afterwards, there were so many different ways for this game to end. Yeah. It could have ended where that was not a catch, thus not a turnover, still have the ball for the Niners, and then they ran it out, had like a five-minute offense. Cowboys couldn't stop. And then that was the end of it. Or they moved all the way down the field, and then Robbie Gould kicks the three to make it a 9-point game. That's the end of it. And that would have been the huge moment that we've been talking about. Or the Niners got the first down because the quarterback sneak actually did go off without movement on the line because they motioned Trent Williams. I don't know.
The game should have been over anyway. Like, we shouldn't even have got the ball back.
That could have been the conversation.
Right.
As opposed to the conversation we're having.
But if Kittle catches that and it's a fumble and Dallas recovers.
I felt so bad. I'm like, don't do that to George, football gods. Don't do that to my guy, Kittle.
I mean, it would have been all right.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show on a very busy Monday. Overreaction Monday after a wild card weekend. Roll it, hit it.
Here we go.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Monday.
Christopher, this is everything but the Cowboys and Niners, right?
There's no Cowboy related.
Because we're having a separate version of this later on.
Just for the Cowboys.
Please.
There is one 49er item in here, but let's start with Saturday. The Buffalo Bills had the most impressive win over the weekend.
I would think so. Because there's so much riding on the line and beating New England. You know what I'm saying? Like, even with last year, okay? Even with getting to the AFC Championship game last year, losing 2 of 3 to New England would have been, here we go again. It would have pushed everything back to square one with question marks. And you just look at the way the Cowboys season ended. the home loss, the only home team to lose so far, with questions and recriminations and who's to blame conversations. That's your alternative. But they also just destroyed and dismantled New England. And the good thing about it, we'll talk about it throughout the rest of the week, is that Buffalo, there is no sense at all like that's the pinnacle, right? Like you destroy your arch nemesis, and that's all you need to do because the rest of it is house money. The fact that the next game is Kansas City, and this is the team that they lost to in the AFC Championship game last year. I mean, Stephon Diggs staring at that celebration going down on the podium to see how it feels for the other team to win it all. He wanted to sense that. Well, that moment has now arrived for him. To set that up, to beat New England the way that they did, yeah, I'd say that that's a proper reaction, Chris, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then on the other sideline there, I said worst playoff loss, maybe worst loss ever. That was Belichick's worst playoff loss ever.
Yeah.
Would you say worst loss of his career? Take it one step further?
Well, let's just flip it. The Bills became the first team to ever get the ball and score only touchdowns. No punts, no tries for field goals because you have to settle. No turnovers. You got the ball. You scored a touchdown. The only times where you touched the ball and did not do it is end of first half. You just knelt the ball, catching the final kickoff of the half. And also, you knelt out to end the game. Victory formation. By the way, Trubisky victory formation once opened for Bachman Turner overdrive. So,
how about this? How about the title of this graphic?
The Bills are alive with the sound of TDs. Well done. That's a Smitch special, I think.
Also, shout out to me. What's more likely on Friday? I said more touchdowns in this game or the temperature at kickoff.
I know which
the
was
Bills
six.
Did it themselves.
I know they did it. What else you got over there, Chris?
I'm also really glad that ended up being a blowout because, like I say, in the blowout or close territory, I'd rather lose by a blowout because I was able to actually enjoy the rest of my Saturday night by drinking the hard brown stuff.
You had that Henny? Was you on that Henny hand?
It was so delicious. I totally forgot what happened in the game. All right, 49ers.
Did you sip it on that yak?
Overreaction. Here we go. Jimmy G, guys. Jimmy G, not impressive yesterday. He cannot be trusted to make a deep playoff.
No, man, I think he had a really good game, and then just the moment.
But that's the moment, though. It happens.
I tweeted out
that kind of good game.
During that game that I even texted you that's probably gonna be his last attempt of the day.
And it wasn't.
That wasn't.
Immediately threw right after.
They kept going. They kept going.
Why can't Kyle Shanahan help himself?
I don't know, brother. But all I know is that was terrific. And again, once again, Jimmy G, don't forget, in this season, everything going on. Trey Lance throws the first touchdown pass of the year because they do put him in the red zone. And this is the idea that Jimmy's just going to be between the 20s and the red zone is Trey Lance. And that is, I mean, that feels like a different galaxy, not the same even calendar year, which it isn't, I guess, or the same football season. He is remarkable, and I will say that's an overreaction. What else you got over there, Chris?
It is too bad we're talking about kind of the officiating for this team because they are so damn impressive. They are so damn likable. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are just so damn cool. The Bengals are the team that nobody wants to play.
That's correct. I agree. If the Bengals and Niners play each other in the Super Bowl, first of all, sorry, Cincinnati, because that would bring up every other trip you've ever made to the Super Bowl and every single piece of video that you don't want to see ever again. And you'd be like, really? Every time we make the Super Bowl, it would be the matchup of the two teams that nobody wants to see play each other. I mean, well, it'd be the matchup of two teams that nobody wants to ever see and play. I think it would be a highly entertaining Super Bowl. Certainly since Joe Burrow is so much fun to watch. He really is. And then just see what he has become for the Bengals and their fans. It's just terrific. We had a great piece on game day morning on Saturday. Spoke to his dad, spoke to his youth football coach. We were showing youth football video of Joe Burrow. It was so much fun. The guy is a gamer. He was born to do what he is doing right now. And that my favorite part about this, about Joe Burrow, is he is doing this for Cincinnati and has become what he's become because Ohio State just said, not here. Oh, it's amazing. It's so great. It's so great. And all the Ohio State fans claim him. They claim him. Couldn't find a spot. Oh, it's the greatest. I hope he goes on like a Brady-like run and it'll be like, yeah, Michigan kept Tom, even though we didn't play him all the time, but it created the fire. You telling him go to LSU helped create the fire. Oh, I hope that's the part of this whole thing. But that's a proper reaction. They are terrific, and it's fun to watch. It's
Rich, really, guess what? Really Joe Burrow is going to be that dude. So
I think he's becoming it right before our eyes, and it's terrific.
Joe Burrow's that dude.
Well, we'll find out, because Tennessee's going to try and run the ball down their defense's throat.
Yeah.
With Derrick Henry. What else, sir?
All right, Rich, I saw that you stuck with Chiefs-Bucks Super Bowl.
I did.
I predicted that before the season as well.
Yes.
And
me too.
It just looks like it, guys. Super Bowl 56 here in Los Angeles. Chiefs-Bucks rematch.
Well, here's the deal, man. It is great to see the offense run like it was running, and then they're having the fun, like Kelce throwing his first ever career touchdown, and then getting his mom asking him a question afterwards.
His mom was in both games yesterday.
I know, because the Jason Kelce played in Tampa earlier in the day. And then also, you know, seeing a big thick six, and they're rolling, right?
Rolling.
The Bills are rolling too, man. The one thing that I do like for the Bucks is what a draw. The Rams wind up losing. They're not in week 18. They're not the 2 seed. They're the 4 seed. They got to play this game tonight, and then they've got to come visit Tampa. Not the other way around. Tampa doesn't have to come back here where they've already lost to take on the Rams.
Right.
They just sit around, and I know they had to play a game, unfortunately for them, in which Tristan Wirfs is hurt in that game. I like the way that they just sit at home. A West Coast team has got to come on a short week. First ever Monday Night Football playoff game. You know, you never know what that team's going to look like the next week, because this has never been like this is all new ground. You'd rather be the one sitting at home saying, come on, West Coast team here to the East Coast. Come here. And I like their draw. And see if the Niners can beat the crap out of the Packers or even knock them off and they don't have to move at all before flying out here.
Yeah, last year they went all road games.
So I'll say that's an overreaction for the moment, because they're that Bills team, and then of course there's a Packers team that I'm sure will soak in this whole 49er love that's going on this week, and ball it up and use it to their advantage. So I'll say that's an overreaction for the moment.
All right, last one. My man Chris in LA kind of touched on this, but based on how these games have gone with the 2-7. Adding a seventh playoff team, kind of a big mistake.
Well, I will say this, that there's two parts to this equation. The way the seventh seeded teams have performed in their first four games.
Not great.
The Colts against the Bills last year is the high water mark, yeah. Where a Hail Mary by Phillip Rivers that never reached the end zone was the way that game ended. It was that close. The other ones haven't been close. But you also have to factor in the seventh team that's in makes the last regular season week what it was this time around. Week 18 was off the charts, man. So it's not just how they perform this week. It's how the regular season ends and how many teams are interested in, how many fan bases are interested in the final week because there's that seventh team. It's more than just how they perform on wild card weekend that goes into it.
So maybe it should have been the wrong teams made the seventh seed this year.
Maybe that's a better reaction.
If we had the Chargers in there or the Saints or something like that, like it would have been a little bit
maybe
better.
Well, the Saints were banged up. I don't think you want Trevor Siemian starting a playoff game. That's not what you're looking for, with all due respect. I should have put the all due respect first because it was disrespectful the other way around. But and at some point in our lifetimes, seven's going to beat a two. I mean, somebody's going to be the UMBC of this equation. You know what I mean?
16 eventually beat the ones.
It's what I'm saying. Like, it will happen. Yeah. But again, part of this is also the way the regular season ends. Then, of course, there's the money.
Of course.
I was told that part of the reason why CBS paid for that window yesterday. That's the part of the reason I heard is that that's why CBS got Cowboys and Niners. Part of the reason.
That 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that they. It's money, man.
America's team.
Man, I can't wait to see the ratings on that. It's got to be through the roof.
Well, it was a tight game, and of course, as you say, it's America's team, which means I guess America's tapping out of the rest of the playoffs since their team is out.
They probably. I mean, you're going to see the ratings decline for sure.
Oh my god!
Of course.
Oh yeah, nobody's going to watch Bills Chiefs this weekend.
Nobody's watching that. Packers Niners, please
look. Junior varsity games are fun.
That's such a Pop Warner matchup.
Junior varsity games are fun for the parents and the grandparents.
They might as well run the
watch.
Annexation of Puerto Rico in that game.
The girlfriends and cheerleaders ain't watching, though.
All right, speaking of that, and I wanted to do this one for one because I literally just thought
about
it.
You got one more?
They don't have a graphic because I just made it up.
Okay. Did we? okay, Omaha.
Did we get robbed?
Yeah, what do you got?
Do we get robbed of a Bills-Chiefs AFC Championship game that it has to be this weekend instead?
Yes.
Like, that feels like it could be a Super Bowl, Bills-Chiefs.
Well, I mean, how many times do you see, like, a conference championship game and a conference title game in a series in the NBA say this is kind of for it all, right?
Yeah.
We've seen AFC or NFC Championship games saying, remember that one that perfect example, Niners-Cowboys in 94.
Yeah, that felt like that was.
It's like whoever wins, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's a letdown in the Super Bowl. Let's see what the AFC Championship game looks like if it's Cincinnati at Buffalo, by the way, which Buffalo will be rooting heavily for Cincinnati with the hope that they get a home game. Tennessee, Buffalo, you know, Kansas City, Cincinnati again. Right? I mean, these will be of interest. And the winner of it can get to the Super Bowl and win it all. There's no doubt. Take a look at the final eight here, Chris. Look at the final eight. Wow. Who has no shot at winning it all? Who has no shot of winning three in a row? You can't say that. Every last remaining team in this tournament, the Elite Eight of the NFL, has a three-game winning streak in them. Every last one of them can do
it. Even whatever team wins tonight.
Yeah. Well, they got to. Yes, correct.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't sit here and say whoever makes the AFC Championship game, it won't be as competitive as Bills Chiefs. You know? Because Chiefs Bengals, you know, we just saw that game a couple weeks ago. That had a lot of explosiveness to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
By the way, I appreciate you keeping the NFL Films music going because this is technically the overtime portion of Overreaction Monday. So you have one specifically just on the Cowboys
coming up. I have just like a Cowboys season overreaction.
Okay. Eric Stone Street is joining us next. And as you know, last week he heard what Joe Manganiello had to say calling, he's a diehard Steeler fan, Manganiello, calling Chiefs fans nouveau riche fans in the NFL.
Very
and he issued a statement, a written statement. He's now provided his photographs for his upcoming appearance, by the way. That's coming up next.